Today, as we come to the table,
if people don't know that they're sinners and they need to repent, why is the cross even needed? There has to be salvation. Here's what the Bible says. With Jesus Christ, eternal bliss and glory in heaven. Without Jesus Christ, eternal separation and torment. Here's my question. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you made a decision? And typically you can determine that by how much you're squirming on the inside right now. Now, if you're hardened, if you've gone so long hearing it, you've just rejected it, it may not affect you. You're sitting there, you're fine. I'm fine, I think. I'm fine, sure I am, really. I challenge you, make sure that you're fine. Because if you don't know that you know the Lord, if you don't know that your sins are gone, this is your future unless you give your life to Christ.
As you continue to learn from the book of Revelation in today's message, you may be a little uncomfortable. Talking about where your heart is may not be the easiest topic, but it's so important. Take some time today and evaluate your heart. Is Jesus really dwelling within, or does he need to be invited into your life? Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. One of the most beautiful things about who God is that he is full of grace. His desire is to see all people live a life by his side, and not just today, but eternally. As you continue to reflect on your own life, know it's not too late. It's not too late to say, God, I need you. It's not too late to say, Jesus, I believe in you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 14 as he continues his message, Songs of Purity and Angels of Warning.
The Bible says that there's purity in marriage and that everything within marriage in that physical realm is clean and pure before God. But what he's talking about is here is obviously these 144,000, when they were saved, they were unmarried because they were virgins. So they weren't married yet. And the exciting thing to me is they obviously were saved at a very young age, being unmarried. And now they've made it through the entire 7-year tribulation and they remained pure. Now, why do I find that so amazing? First of all, it's hard to stay pure in the world today. Listen, everywhere you turn, there's something to do with sexual immorality or something to get the flesh going, so to speak. And again, I can't speak for women and what your struggles are as much, but I know from the man's perspective, and it's rampant. It's rampant. Now, do you think it's going to be less rampant during the Great Tribulation when God yanks his church out of here than it is now? It's going to be way worse. If you think sexual temptation is hard today, if you think that pornography is rampant today, if you think that the sexualizing of everything as well as anything else besides that that's immoral, if you think it's going to be better, it's going to be way worse. What is my point? If these 144,000 can make it through the worst immoral time in world history and stay pure for Jesus Christ, you can. And I can, which means we have choices to make. But Mark, you don't understand, the temptation is so strong. Doesn't the Bible talk about burning with passion? Yes, it does. But here's the bottom line. God has given his Holy Spirit. God has given the avenue of that through marriage so that it can be done righteously outside of marriage in any format. The Bible says it's sin before God. So there's a righteous aspect to that that can be used righteously. But what it shows here is that for those of you that want to just remain pure, now we could say for those that aren't married, but I want to take it farther than that. Just those of you who want to remain pure for the Lord in a world that is very defiled, it can be done, and these 144,000 prove it. It's done by the word of God, by prayer, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's done by devoting yourself to the Lord. It says these were the ones who followed the Lamb wherever he went. Again, that's the key. You want to stay pure in the Lord? Follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Give yourself completely. Lord, I give myself completely to you, and wherever you go, I will follow. I'm staying in the word. I'm staying in prayer. I'm staying in fellowship. I'm giving all my life to you. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can walk in purity. Again, I look at Daniel. Daniel moved, if you will, not of his own volition, but he was taken captive by the Babylonians. They take him back to Babylon. It was a wicked, evil kingdom. And Daniel remains pure for the Lord in Babylon. Joseph taken from the desert with his family down to wicked Egypt, a type of the world at that time. Joseph stays pure for God with a lot of consequence. I get that, but he stayed pure. I guess my point is I want you to know that God's made the power available if you will simply commit to the Lord and ask for his power to do it. But it might mean you have to make some hard decisions. And again, God will convict you of what those decisions need to be. They made the hard decisions. They stayed pure for the Lord. They had a song to sing. And by the way, you know, to have a song to sing, that means you're filled with joy and happiness. And I've noticed this. Again, we talk about holiness. Holiness is not so much what you do or don't do. It's really an attitude of the heart being set apart for God and living righteously for the Lord. And there is a direct connection between holiness and happiness. Remember the two H's. That'll keep it in your mind. There's a direct connection between holiness and happiness. Here's been my personal experience, and here's been what I've seen working with the church for over 30 years now, and that is this. Those that are walking holy, they're the happier people. Those that are not walking holy, they're the miserable people. Why? It makes logical sense. You see, if you're not walking in holiness with God, there's all this conviction. We know that we're wrong, don't we? We know that we're not doing right, and we're haunted, and we can't rest, and it's like, ah! But when we're walking with God the way we know we're supposed to be walking with God, there's joy. There's a new song. And now we can sing with that purity before the Lord. God knows our weakness. He knows we're not perfect. But we can have that purity in our heart and that song that springs from that as we walk in this purity before the Lord. And again, the key is, they followed him wherever he goes. Wherever the Lamb went, they followed him. And they were redeemed. Notice these were redeemed among men. They're at the end of verse 4, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. First fruits means the offering of the first and the best. They would bring their first crops to the temple. They'd bring their first of everything to the temple, the first of the animals born. So my point is simply this. These are the first fruits of God pouring out his spirit on the nation of Israel. He pours it out on them, 144,000 saved, and these guys are the cream of the crop. They say they're so excited about meeting Jesus Christ, their Savior. They're so focused. And by the way, I would think in the midst of all this going on in the Great Tribulation, you wouldn't be thinking that much about marriage anyway. But either way, they're the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And notice this, not just physically were they pure. Look at verse 5. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, note this. It wasn't just the physical aspect of the purity. Guys, it was the way they lived. It was how they spoke. Listen, we live in a society today that is very corrupt verbally. Has anybody noticed? You should stand out. People should recognize that your language is pure. A believer just speaking the way the world does, listen, you need to ask God to forgive you of that. If that's how you're doing, you need to say, God, forgive me. I remember a few years back, there were some pastors who were starting to use foul language from the pulpit, and their reasoning behind it was, I want to be able to reach the world. We got to be like them to reach them. And my answer to that is nonsense. You need to stop and you need to repent, because Jesus never became like the world to reach the world, ever. He stayed pure, he stayed holy, he stayed righteous, and he went right into the middle of the mud and got me. So he'll walk into the mud and get us, but he doesn't become like us. And so we need to be pure. They were pure, even in their words and what they spoke. So again, a great testimony to the purity of God here in these first five verses and walking with God and the benefits of it. Now we get to verse 6 and there's a shift here. And suddenly it goes from this view of these 144,000 praising the Lord, their special song, their purity with God, their faithfulness to God, to these three angels. And we're going to see these angels each bring a very specific message. And this is amazing. These angels, literal angels, flying around the planet. Notice verse 6, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Now, several things to note here. First of all, there are some people that try to say, you know, Jesus can't come back until the church reaches the whole world. You ever heard that? Listen, God uses us. And I praise the Lord for each of you that are sharing your faith. And I thank God I have the opportunity to share with you. And it goes out around the world through streaming and radio and different things. But the bottom line is, God doesn't need me to do that. God allows me to do it. And God's not waiting or depending on me to do it. God is literally going to send an angel to fly around the planet and preach the gospel to everyone. It'll be done very efficiently and very rapidly. So we're not waiting on the church to do anything until he can come back in glory. He's going to take care of it. We're just to be about our Father's business in helping him until he comes back. Now, some have tried to say, well, this is probably satellites, right? Look, John is in heaven looking at all the angels with the wings. He knows what an angel looks like. A piece of metal with an antenna. He's not going to confuse John at this point. He's not going to go, well, maybe that's a strange angel. You know, it's kind of floating with a weird way. It's got this disc on it, you know. Anyway. No, it's an angel. It's a literal angel. Now, how's he going to speak to us? Us, we won't be here. How's he going to speak to the world? I don't know. Is it going to be literally an audible voice that everybody hears? Wouldn't that be amazing? As this guy just travels over, everybody's like, whoa, there he is again. How many times is he going to go around? I don't know, right? Or is it going to be something supernatural that speaks to the heart of mankind? And everybody's going to realize, here's the gospel. Jesus is the Savior. I need to repent. Either way, everyone in the deepest jungle, in the farthest parts of the desert, they're all going to hear the gospel. So it will be preached to the whole world in God's timing right here as he flies around the earth to every tribe, tongue, and nation. And by the way, it shows you this leads into the second angel we'll get to in a moment. I'm going to point out every tribe, tongue, and nation because it's to the whole world. Jesus Christ and his message is to everyone on the planet. It is not an American religion. It is not a Middle Eastern religion. It is the answer to heaven. Jesus Christ, the only way to the Father. And so he's going to be proclaiming this. And notice, this is interesting to me again, especially when you look at the judgments on what God's going to be doing with nature here on the earth. He says, glorify God, give him glory, for the judgment time has come, and worship him who made heaven and made the earth and the sea and the springs of water. What's my point? The Bible says, and we've noted this before, in Romans chapter 1, it says that when mankind turns away from following God, they begin to worship the environment. Anybody see a correlation today? As we're turning away from God, what's becoming more and more important as a main issue worldwide? The climate, the environment, the green, whatever you want to call it. And God is saying, look, I'm the one controlling all that. You can't hold that together. I control that. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. You don't think that I can keep the world healthy and able to take care of the people I put on it? Relax. I'm not saying don't be good stewards, but I'm saying it's being taken to an extreme that it appears here in Scripture is going to get so extreme, it's going to be really earth worship and lifting up the earth above God. And if you remember when God was judging the gods of Egypt with Moses, he systematically judged all those gods and removed them out of the way because they were worshiping all these things rather than the true God. Now God's going to do the same thing. And the Bible says during the Great Tribulation, remember, God himself will destroy the oceans. God himself will destroy the streams. God himself will burn up the trees. God himself will burn up the green grass. God himself will bring and pollute the environment around the earth. It's going to be so cloudy, it says, it'll block a third of the sun and a third of the moon. Why would God do that? Because mankind is going, this is where our love needs to be. This is where our focus needs to be. We need to love the earth. And God said, wait, whoa, 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 love me and I'll take care of the earth. Just love me. And the angel now circling saying, listen, worship him who made heaven and earth. Don't worship heaven and earth. Worship him who made it. And he goes on and says, beyond that, and the sea and the springs. Don't worship the sea and the springs. Worship me. Again, I understand stewardship. I think I've made that clear. But again, you can see the focus here, what's going to be happening in the last days, and God's going to deal with it. God will judge all gods and all things that get between him and mankind, whether it's the environment or whether it's anything else. God will deal with it, and he's going to. There's the first angel. Now we come to the second angel. Notice this. He's going to deal with, the first one was the gospel, and we talked about worshiping God. Now he leads right into false religions. And it says, another angel follows. Here comes this second guy circling the earth, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, there's probably some kind of connection here to economic activities that are going on, as we see later on in chapter 18, Babylon being fallen and all the things that Babylon is producing. But Babylon, in general, foundationally deals with the false religions of the world. So there'll be a false religion wrapped around that economic system in chapter 18 when we get there. But this is speaking about false religions. How do we know that? Because when they came off the ark after God judged the earth the first time, they began to gather in Babylon. And God said, scatter around the world. Don't stay in Babylon. They said, no, we're going to stay here and we're going to build a tower to the heavens. We're going to worship our own gods. So God came down, confused their languages, and they scattered around the globe and took all their false religions with them. And all these other religions were born, if you will, other things to worship other than God. This angel is going to circle the earth and saying, look, you heard the first angel say, Jesus Christ is the answer. You heard the first angel say, judgment's coming. Now I'm telling you, you better turn away from Buddhism. You better turn away from Islam. You better turn away from Jehovah's Witness. You better turn away from Mormonism. You better turn away from all these false religions because you're going to be judged by God if you don't. Powerful. It's not coming from a pulpit. It's going to be an angel in heaven saying it. A little bit more authority there. And so the bottom line is, it's fallen. God's going to judge it. Turn away from your false beliefs and turn to Jesus Christ, the only answer to get into heaven, and avoid the wrath of your fornication. That is spiritual fornication, spiritual relations with other gods rather than the true God is the idea. So two angels have now gone by, and we come to the third angel in verse 9. He says, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, and I got to love these angels because they all have loud voices, and I can associate with that. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full strength into the cup of his indignation. Notice this again. It says it's poured out in full strength. Why full strength? Because the normal drink back then was 1/4 wine, 3 parts water. That's how they drank at their meals. They would have 1 part wine, 3 parts water. And why would they do that? Well, first of all, the wine would flavor the water. I like flavor to water. You know, we get these waters, the sparkling waters. They're healthy. I love them. I need something with a little bit of burn and carbonation in it, right? And you can buy these little, you know, things and just grape things and spray in there, whatever color you like, kind you like or whatever. And I like that. So I understand flavoring. It was used back in Jesus' day to flavor the water. You just had normal water, normal drinking water that had some flavor to it. But there was also a medicinal reason. There were a lot of microorganisms, small things you couldn't see. They didn't have the chemicals and the filtering systems we have today. So the wine would kill the bad guys and you wouldn't get sick. That's why Paul said to Timothy, hey, Timothy, you know, Timothy was going just pure water. He said, drink a little bit of wine. Put some wine in your water. I know you're not getting drunk. I'm not worried. Just put a little bit in there. It'll kill the bugs. And Paul didn't say this, but I would add to Timothy, add some flavor. You know, so what? I'm not suggesting you buy wine to add to your water. I'm saying that's why they did it in that day, because they had to due to the bugs. And at the same time, would also give it some flavor, if you will. And so he says, but notice this, if you take this mark, God's judgment won't be watered down like your drink is. It's coming full strength. Now, again, we talked about the mark last week. Notice he says, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives the mark on his forehead or his hand, he shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God. And that old picture there of wine and the wrath of God. We talked about it, but it has to be mentioned again because of this. The mark of the beast will not be tricked onto you. It will not be a trick. You're not going to fall for something that you weren't expecting. It's not going to be a vaccine. Oh, no, I took it. No, I've got the mark. No. Remember, we spoke last week. It's very specifically given by this world leader. It's going to be on your hand. It's going to be on your forehead. And as a matter of fact, to make sure that you don't make that mistake, because he says here, if you take that mark, you will be eternally condemned. That's it. You're done. And that's why people have been so nervous about the vaccine and other things. That's why I wanted to encourage you that it's not the vaccine, because it's a condemnation. But it is so important to God that you know exactly what you're doing and that the world knows exactly what the mark is and exactly what the mark is not. God says, whoa, I'm not going to leave this up to you to worry, because there's going to be a lot of weird things coming down the pike in the last days. And we're probably going to have the questions. Could this be the mark? No, I'm not going to let you worry. I'm going to literally send an angel to fly around the earth and say, that's the mark of the beast, don't take it. So if you've not heard an angel flying around the earth saying, that's the mark of the beast, don't take it, you're doing okay. Rest. It's all right. Now again, as far as vaccines and all that, I get, that's a whole subject, that's a personal choice, but it's not the mark. And this angel's going to make sure that nobody makes that mistake. God's going to make sure your eternal destiny is so important. He would never allow anyone to unknowingly take some mark that was going to eternally condemn their souls. And to make sure that doesn't happen, he's sending an angel to circle the earth and make the proclamation. Don't take this thing. It's the mark. And if you do, you're going to have my wrath in full strength. Here's the result of it. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So the judgment will take place in front of all of us. We're going to see everyone be cast into that lake of fire that rejects Jesus Christ. What an awesome day. And I don't mean awesome in a good way. I mean in a biblical way. Just, there's no words for it. When we see that, we're going to see that as they're cast in there. And notice what he says about it. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. You know what forever and ever means in the language? Literally forever and ever. This is a great translation. Now, why do I say that? What God is saying is, if you miss Jesus Christ, your judgment is forever. It never stops. A lot of people try to say, well, there's this teaching out there called annihilism. It means that God's going to allow the unbeliever to be, again, tormented for a certain amount of time, and then God's going to make them just disintegrate. They'll be annihilated. So we get annihilism, and then they'll no longer have to deal with it. That's not what the Bible teaches. That may be some type of vague encouragement for the unbeliever. That certainly wouldn't encourage me. It's like, hey, look, just don't give your life to the Lord. It's only about 1,000,000 years of torment and suffering. So don't worry about it. I mean, what? Just make it 1,000,000 years, you'll be good. That's not very comforting, right? And I'm not making light of that. I'm saying that's not what this is saying. It never stops. You see, every soul ever born is eternal. Whether you believe in Christ or whether you don't believe in Christ, you will never die. It just depends on where you're going to live. You'll either live born again and forgiven in the kingdom of God, or you will live forever in the kingdom of darkness, separated from God and a place of torment. It never ends. Now you see why the gospel message is so important and why God would send an angel to warn about the mark of the beast. He says, notice this, they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. They're all going to fall in that same category. Here's the patience of the saints and those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Christ, or the faith of Jesus. And then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. That is, you know what? It's actually going to be, if you give your life to the Lord, even in the midst of the great tribulation, you're going to be blessed because you're going to get into heaven. And you know what? It also would be a blessing, I think, to die before it's over because it's going to be such a horrible time. It's blessed are those who die in the Lord from that point, because you don't really die, you just move. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. I love this. It said you can't take it with you, and that's true. But you can send it on ahead, and then your works that you do down here will continue to follow you as your fruit carries on. Things that you do before you die, if the ministry keeps going, that goes to your account in heaven. Did you know that? It's going to follow you. You'll be done here. You'll get to heaven, and other people are going to be getting saved because of something you've done down here. You'll get that reward as well. It comes up after you, so to speak. So what a blessing to know that everything we have, we send ahead, and what we leave down here is going to follow us in that sense. Even though you can't take the physical things, the spiritual things are going to be able to go, and that's really what matters. And here's the greatest thing, guys, I want to really, I guess, point out to us, and that is this. For those of you, if you don't know the Lord, what a horrible thing to think of being forever and ever tormented. A lot of people are afraid to talk about that. You know, you don't want to be labeled a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Well, when the Bible talks about hellfire and brimstone, I better tell you, because that's what we face if we reject Christ. Very famous pastor that you would know, and I'm not going to say his name, but he said out in the open, I will never talk about sin behind the pulpit. And my answer to that is you're condemning souls, and I'm worried about yours. Because if people don't know that they're sinners and they need to repent, why is the cross even needed? There has to be salvation. Here's what the Bible says. With Jesus Christ, eternal bliss and glory in heaven. Without Jesus Christ, eternal separation and torment. Here's my question. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you made a decision? And typically you can determine that by how much you're squirming on the inside right now. Now, if you're hardened, if you've gone so long hearing it and you've just rejected it, it may not affect you. You're sitting there, you're fine. I'm fine, I think. I'm fine, sure I am. Really? I challenge you, make sure that you're fine. Because if you don't know that you know the Lord, if you don't know that your sins are gone, this is your future unless you give your life to Christ. And so as we finish today, I want to do that. I want to give you an opportunity to ask the Lord in your heart, and I get to proclaim it before the angel does, but you can respond to it also before you'd have to respond then if you were left behind. At the same time, for those of us, I want to pray for those of us in here that know the Lord, that we would be like the 144,000 saying, you know what? I want to walk pure. I want to be pure when the Lord comes back. I want God to clean my act up. You can't do it, God will do it, but you've got to allow God to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit and asking Him to give you that power to do it.
The New Testament letter of Revelation is a startling reminder that God's real and that He doesn't play around when it comes to people disobeying His commands, because He wants the very best for them. Ultimately, Revelation touches on Christ's return and what it means for those who are followers of Jesus. If you aren't familiar with this kind of faith and are wondering what it means to become a follower of Jesus, don't hesitate to ask us any questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. We'd be happy to talk with you and pray with you about anything that you've heard or having difficulty understanding. Revelation can be a confusing book to parse through, and we want to be here as a support for your questions and concerns. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come get to know us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the Calvary Knoxville link to get service times and directions at the bottom of the homepage. If these teachings have been helpful for you, or you'd like to hear more from this series in Revelation, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. God will speak to you every time you read His Word. Pastor Mark has more to share about what God is telling us in the book of Revelation, so join us here next time as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.